You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves website on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy game four of the NBA Finals this evening. Today, talk briefly about the finals, a couple fun Jimmy Butler stats, or I guess maybe not so fun for Timberwolves fans, Jimmy Butler stats from game three, and then a couple of other Wolves notes off the top. A tweet from an NBA superstar who is endorsing David Vanterpool, and if you paid attention at all to the Vanterpool saga, well, saga is probably not the right word, but Vanterpool getting hired by the Wolves a couple years ago and now also interviewing with other teams, it's probably not hard to guess which superstar player is endorsing him as a future head coach in the league. And then also another star player who's disgruntled in his current situation. We talked about him a couple months ago now as a possibility for the Timberwolves to trade for, but one of our fellow Locked On NBA podcasts is advocating for one of their star players to potentially get moved, and have a soundbite from him as well as who that player is and my thoughts on the potential of the Wolves acquiring said star player here in just a little bit. First, off the top, a quick reminder, as always, to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And hey, someday we'll have games to live tweet and, you know, chime in on and some things that are actually happening in the world of the Timberwolves. And I mean, it's been what, 6 months? Nope. Almost 7 months now since we've had a Timberwolves game. So I don't know. With every day we get closer to the first game in 7 months, I guess is one way to look at it. But at any rate, let's talk about some quick notes off the top. First of all, even before we talk finals, real quick, a note from Chris Hine, the Timberwolves beat writer over at the Star Tribune, responded. He actually retweeted a tweet from The Undefeated. Chris Paul said that over 90% of the league is registered to vote. There's 15 teams that are 100% registered. And Chris Hine of the Star Tribune retweeted that and added in that the Timberwolves are one of the 15 teams with 100% registration among their players per a team spokesperson. That's awesome. That's the Timberwolves have really put their money where their mouth is in terms of being active in the Twin Cities community, being advocates for folks whose rights are being infringed upon, pushing for folks to get registered to vote and being active in the community, fighting back against racial injustices. And really, I mean, the Timberwolves have always been fairly involved in the community, but especially since the George Floyd tragedy back in late May, the Wolves have really been active and have really done more, you know, and the NBA as a whole has. And obviously, as Chris Paul is saying, over 90% of the league is registered to vote. And that's awesome. And the Timberwolves as an organization have done a really good job of being at the forefront of that. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the Target Center being used as a polling location. Folks can register to vote there as well. So really good news that the Wolves are so active on that side of things and positive, you know, kudos to obviously to the players for being the ones to actually get themselves registered, and also to the leadership of the organization for making sure that that happens. So thought it was a good note to start on. Moving into the NBA Finals, of course, game four is this evening on Tuesday. The Lakers have a 2-1 lead. The Heat rode 40-plus points and a triple-double from Jimmy Butler on Sunday to force, or I guess to bring themselves to within a 2-1 deficit. And as of now, as of this recording, Bam Adebayo is questionable to play on Tuesday. I don't know about Goran Dragic, but oh, actually, he's still listed as doubtful for the game with his plantar fascia injury, which, of course, is a really nagging injury. It's one of the injuries that Wally Szczerbiak had in his career in Minnesota that really hobbled him. But if Adebayo plays, he's questionable as of now. If he plays in this game, that's a huge, huge deal for Miami. But at any rate, the Jimmy Butler note that I wanted to make was tweeted out by Tim Reynolds. Coincidentally, his Twitter handle is actually by Tim Reynolds. He's an AP sports writer. And he tweeted this after the game on Sunday. He said, Jimmy Butler with 19 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals at halftime. The only other time someone did that before halftime throughout this season, playoffs regular season, the 19-20 season, Karl Anthony Towns on October 25th versus Charlotte, way back when there was a lot of positivity around this team. I believe that was the second game of the season last year. He had 26, 8, and 2 at halftime. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals at halftime last year. How about that symmetry? Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, the only players with 19 plus points, 6 plus rebounds, 6 plus assists, and 2 steals at halftime of a game all season long. So, I don't know. I guess Jimmy Butler's is in the finals, so that counts a little bit more than a late October second game of the season in Charlotte. But there's that. So, hopefully Jimmy Butler is another huge game. We all deserve a close finals at this point. We deserve to have game 6, game 7, to have all these games mean something. And if Adebayo can play, that's one big step towards that happening. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously, this evening. And on Wednesday's show, we'll talk a little bit more about the finals and specifically, of course, game 4. We'll recap the game, talk about Jimmy Butler's performance, LeBron, Anthony Davis, if Adebayo plays, all these guys. And again, here's hoping for a competitive series. All right, next up, I want to talk about the star player that is endorsing David Vanterpool as a potential head coach, or as he says, should be a head coach now in the NBA. And then also another star player who is trying to get out of his current situation and the possibility that maybe the Timberwolves could land said player. Before we do that, let's talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or account login. It's a family business and serves auto parts customers online now and for the last 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Let's also talk about Built Go. You've heard us talk about Built Bar, which is fantastic. It is a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar, but now we have Built Go to talk about. And I will tell you, I tried it for the first time last week. I had one today, and it is phenomenal. What is it, you ask? It is the best workout gel on the market. And it's not just for a pre-workout necessarily. It's also going to give you an energy boost that will get you through whatever you need to get through. It's like a five-hour energy without the same crash feeling at the end. For instance, I have my day job, I have my podcast, I have my blog pieces to write. I'm trying to get in a workout. I got to pick up the kids from school. All those things have to happen today. And Built Go is what's fueling me to do that. Whether you have a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go. Every single day. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase or your backpack for the most focused presentation ever. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's just like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. This morning, I enjoyed the chocolate coconut. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast and it's easy on the stomach. The whole thing's loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. From beta-alanine to vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine keeps me going strong all day. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com for 30% off. Let's go. Okay, let's talk about David Vanterpool. We've talked about him a lot here on the show. I'm a huge fan of Vanterpool. Going back to when he was hired last summer, remember, he was the runner-up for the Timberwolves head coaching job that ultimately went to Ryan Saunders. The Wolves somehow hired him away from Portland to be the associate head coach and defensive coordinator without going through all of his credentials. The long story short is he was in Portland for 6 or 7 years, was the right-hand man to Terry Stotts there, and obviously Stotts is a great coach. Vanterpool basically took a weirdly put-together roster initially that had a lot of kind of undersized scoring guards and made them into a respectable defensive team. He had one top 10 defensive team in Portland with both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in the backcourt, which is incredible. And consistently, they were at least, in the 15 to 17 range league-wide, and then had the one top 10 team. And given that personnel grouping and the way that they were playing, that was an outstanding job that Vanterpool did. He's known as building close relationships with players. There's plenty of documented cases of the guys in Portland sticking up, saying that he's a a stand-up guy and has a future in the league. Both McCollum and Lillard spoke out and congratulated him when he got the role in Minnesota and talked about how sad they were to see him leave Portland. And now, with all these head coaching vacancies, a couple have already been filled, of course, with Billy Donovan going to Chicago and now Doc Rivers to Philadelphia. Vanterpool, we know, interviewed for the role in Indiana with the Pacers that has not yet been filled. He was also going to interview last week with the Houston Rockets. And now we have both Lillard and McCollum speaking out again in support of David Vanterpool and saying that he should get a job. Damian Lillard tweeted on, this is just on a Monday evening, he said, apparently unprovoked, "All these jobs open in the NBA. If David Vanterpool ain't in one of these slots when the season starts, then people ain't doing the job." And then there was another tweet from a fan who said to Lillard, "Shut up, Lillard. We need him in Minnesota." And I appreciate that sentiment. Maybe not how I would have said it, but I mean, I thought the same thing when I read this tweet from Dame. Dame responds, quote tweets it and says, "We needed him in Portland. And when he left, I thought it was going to be a head coach very soon. I know him to be the core. I know him to the core. He's a head coach. And so is Nate Tibbetts, who of course has been an assistant there as well." And also McCollum had a quote per Chris Burkhart of NBC Sports Northwest. CJ McCollum said about Vanterpool, quote, "He's more than deserving and it's only a matter of time before he's a head coach somewhere," end quote. Those guys are right, 100% right. Vanterpool deserves a job. Houston, as we talked about, I think it was last week on the show, Houston often goes for the big name outside of interim head coach JB Bickerstaff, of course, former Minnesota Golden Gopher and former Wolves assistant. He was an interim there. But outside of that, you're looking at, you know, going all the way back to the Jeff Van Gundy years to Rick Adelman before Adelman came to Minnesota. There was, of course, Kevin McHale, Mike D'Antoni, and Houston just seems to go for that big name. And I'm a little skeptical that Vanterpool seems like the type of guy they would hire because he can kind of, it seems like, bridge the gap between the analytics side of the game and also the more traditional scouting side and, you know, the players certainly. And so it does seem like he would be a solid hire for the Rockets just in terms of the on-court value that he'd bring. But again, I mean, it to me, I feel like they're going to go for a bigger name. I don't know who that is at this point, but if Vanterpool's going to get a job, I mean, he needs to get a job, and it's got to be in the next year or two because of the value he brings. Selfishly, I want him in Minnesota for at least another year. When he came on as associate head coach, there was kind of this thought that potentially he could replace Ryan Saunders if things go haywire there, and maybe this was kind of the Wolves really wanted Vanterpool but hired Saunders to appease Glenn Taylor or something like that, and who knows. By all accounts, Carl Anthony Towns loves Ryan Saunders and you know, they wanted to keep Towns happy as well. But who knows what this looks like in 12 months. If Vanterpool doesn't get the Pacers job or the Rockets job or end up with another job, you know, at some point this offseason, he'll be back in Minnesota and he'll be a big part of what the Wolves are trying to do. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. All right. Next, what I want to do is I want to talk about this other superstar. Superstar is probably not the right term for this player. We'll call him a star, who just signed a big contract extension prior to last season. Extension kicks in for the 2020-21 season, which of course is actually going to start in 2021 now. But anyways, and he's already reportedly unhappy with the situation, wants to be traded before this contract even kicks in. That's of course tricky. It was tricky up until now because of the poison pill provision, but he is essentially tradable once this next league year starts. And that player is none other than Sacramento's Buddy Hield. Talked about him on the show. I've already given some reasoning in the past as to why I don't think he is a good fit in Minnesota. Certainly not at that contract that he is on. But I want to play a clip from our friend Matt George over at Locked On Kings, who has a strong take on Buddy Hield. And then I'll give my take on Buddy and why I'll articulate why I don't think he's a good fit in Minnesota. You know, if the trade were going to happen, what it could look like and why it might take place, but also why I don't think it will and don't think it should. So first, let's play the clip from Matt George over at Locked On Kings on Buddy Hield's contract situation, the possibility of moving on from Buddy Hield.
Why did the Sacramento Kings offer Buddy that contract, $88 million guaranteed contract with the opportunity to make upwards of $100 million with incentives added on to the $88 million deal almost a year ago? Why did they make that move? Well, the easy answer is because Buddy Hield is an elite shooter in the NBA, and like I said earlier, he is worth that money. Buddy Hield earned that money by his play. Specifically, Buddy Hield shot himself to that contract by shooting nearly 50% in catch-and-shoot situations and over 40% overall from the three-point line. Again, Buddy Hield deserved that money. Do the Sacramento Kings regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. Does Vlade Divac, who of course is no longer the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, does he regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. And it's not because Buddy Hield's not worth that money. It's because of everything that has happened since Buddy got that money. Buddy Hield forgot what got him paid. It wasn't the fact that he is this sensational superstar player that is going to put the Kings on his back and lead them to the championship. That guy here is De'Aaron Fox, and Buddy Hield is aware of that. But Buddy Hield doesn't think he's second fiddle. Buddy Hield thinks he is guy number 1B, and De'Aaron is guy number 1A. And Buddy has said it from the very beginning. He wants to be paid like he is part of the core. He is part of the future of the Sacramento Kings. And you know what? He was, and in a way, he might still be. But Buddy Hield is not De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield is not the leader on this Kings team. Buddy Hield is a complimentary player who just so happened to lead the Kings in scoring and come up with some big moments on the perimeter for two reasons. One, because he's further along in his development than De'Aaron Fox, at least he was at that time. And two, because he was sharing the floor with De'Aaron Fox, who was drawing so much attention away from himself that he could get open opportunities. Catch and shoot three-pointers were the bread and butter of Buddy Hield's game. And for some reason, a lot of that element of his game disappeared this season after he got paid. And I'm going to split that down the middle, the blame 50-50. 50% of that is on Buddy Hield for wanting to be his hero and idol Kobe Bryant, and 50% of that is on Luke Walton, the Sacramento Kings, for going away from what made Buddy Hield so successful to begin with. Putting him on the perimeter, allowing him to just hover back and forth, go to the corner, go to the wing, go up top, regardless, spread the floor, let De'Aaron Fox either get the ball to you in transition or kick it out to you with inside-out play. That's what worked.
All right, that's Matt George from Locked On Kings. Next up, I'm going to give you my thoughts on Buddy Hield and a potential match in Minnesota. I do not want Buddy Hield in a Minnesota Timberwolves uniform. Here's why. Well, first and foremost, because he is getting paid $94 million over the next 4 years. That is too much money for a guy who has yet to, you know, I hate using the barometer of been an all-star, not been an all-star. I mean, Jeff Teague was an all-star once, and Wally Szczerbiak made an all-star team once. And, you know, that's not the game I want to play here, but he hasn't been an all-star. He hasn't produced at a consistently high level offensively for more than about a year and a half of his time in the NBA. I mean, he's always been a good shooter. We knew that when he came out of Oklahoma, but he hasn't been a consistent starting caliber performer. He ended up getting moved to the bench last year. I mean, you can, part of that's Luke Walton. That's, you know, I think even as Matt says in his clip, you can blame some of last year 50-50 on Buddy, 50-50 on the coaching staff and the way that the team was ran last year. Vlade Divac and the roster he built and the situations that Luke Walton was putting Hield into. But the fact of the matter is he wasn't a starter for the back half of last year. And I guess he did lead that insane comeback in Minnesota against the Timberwolves back in, I think it was late January when the Wolves were up 20 plus halfway through the fourth quarter and the Kings came back and won. But Hield is a, you know, he's a plus offensive player, but he's a huge minus defensively. So starting with the contract, and even if he was a solid defensive player, I mean, you know, he'd maybe be worth that deal depending on what kind of upside you think he has. Remember, he was a 4-year player in college. He's about to turn 28 already. It's not like he's 23 signing his first contract extension. He's 27 turning 28 this December. And this is year one of a 4-year deal paying him $94 million. He's already a one-dimensional, albeit effective, offensive player. Doesn't get to the free throw line. You know, he's at almost 87% from the line when he gets there for his career, but he doesn't get to the free throw line. He doesn't do much else other than knock down catch and shoot threes at an absurdly high rate. And overall is just a good shooter. He's a really good shooter. One of the best shooters in the league, but he's so bad defensively and still manages to be a relatively high usage offensive player. Despite despite having a pretty limited game. I mean, finally last year, almost 60% of his shot attempts were from beyond the arc. But in the 3 years, his first 3 years in the league, and part of this, of course, is due to the offenses he was in, he was still shooting 53% of his shot attempts from inside the arc. And yet he's not somebody that gets to the basket and scores at the basket in the half court. So last year, Luke Walton got him to really only shoot threes. And I mean, his offensive game was still effective, but he was miserable on defense, even worse last year than he had been previously. And again, it's defensive metrics are telling. They're not the whole story. We know this. For instance, Karl Anthony Towns had a terrible defensive real plus minus, that ESPN metric, last year. But his field goal, his opponent's field goal percentage in the paint when he was within a couple feet of them was one of the best in the league. It was like up, it was up there with guys who are known as legitimate rim protectors. And so Towns, you know, there's some evidence to suggest that Towns took a small step in the right direction defensively. And remember, he was playing in essentially his fourth different defensive scheme in his 6 years in the NBA last season. And so, you know, there has to be a little bit of grace there, but Hield hasn't shown anything defensively as an NBA player. No matter the metric, if you're looking at, you know, box score plus minus, if you're looking at defensive win shares or, you know, any of those other statistics, the ESPN real plus minus numbers on Buddy Hield are not pretty. He was 131st this year in defensive RPM out of, I think it was like roughly 140 players in the NBA that were considered shooting guards for this metric. 131st, bottom 10. He had it was over a -2 defensive RPM. He was 11th in offensive RPM for shooting guards, which is exactly what you'd expect. Fantastic offensively, miserable defensively. Overall, that puts him really middle of the pack in terms of on-court impact, according to Real Plus Minus over at ESPN, 57th out of 140 or so players classified as shooting guards by that metric. And, you know, you put him alongside D'Angelo Russell, what's Russell known for? Offense? What's he bad at? Defense. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. I've advocated for the Wolves acquiring other offense-first players if they can be more than a one-dimensional type guy. For instance, Malik Beasley is going to not be a high-usage player who's going to use possessions in the half court. He's going to allow D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns to get theirs in the half court. Beasley's going to score in transition. He's going to score on spot-up jumpers. He's going to pull up and shoot threes in transition. He's not going to get shots in the half court unless they're wide-open threes. Buddy Hield wants to manufacture his own shots in the half court, as our friend Matt George talked about in the clip we played from Locked On Kings. He fancies himself Kobe. He thinks he can be Kobe. And while I admire that confidence and I admire, you know, where he's trying to go with his game and trying to build his game to, he's not Kobe Bryant, and the Timberwolves offense is going to revolve around Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, and they need lower usage wings that can play defense, which is not a box that Malik Beasley really checks, but also can shoot threes and not use up other half-court possessions, which is why Juancho Hernangómez is a great fit. It's why Josh Okogie, to an extent, is a good fit, at least as a rotation player. But a guy like Jarrett Culver is a little bit more of a square peg in a round hole, because to be effective, at least at this point in his career, Culver needs the ball in his hands, and he hasn't proven that he can even be effective in those situations at the NBA level either. So, all that to say, Buddy Hield at $94 million over 4 years is not attractive, because he wants to do more than shoot 40% on threes, and he's going to bring you down defensively. Trading for Buddy Hield is not a winning proposition for the Wolves. It would have to be something like James Johnson. In order to make these contracts work, James Johnson would have to be involved. He's your only contract that's over $6 million. I think Culver is six-something million. Outside of Towns and Russell and the expiring Evan Turner contract, James Johnson's the only guy. He's going to get paid $15.8 million on his player option. And Jarrett Culver, you'd have to basically trade Johnson and Culver, and I'm sure that the Kings would look for a draft pick as well to get Buddy Hield, and now you're paying him $24 million plus each of the next 4 years to shoot 40% on threes, not contribute anything else, and be a sieve defensively. So there's no way for me that a Buddy Hield trade makes any sense, and I don't know that it's necessarily a trade that would make Towns or Russell happy either. So all that to say, this is a negative move for me. If the Wolves were to try and go ahead and do this, I don't think Gerson Rosas is even considering it. I don't think it makes sense. And I don't think it'll happen, but it is something to keep an eye on, because he is one of those bigger names out there that is gettable, and the Kings are likely going to be, you know, with the new front office and, you know, very likely in the next year or so, a new head coach. They're going to look to make some changes. If Buddy Hield's not happy, they don't want to pay their sixth man $24 million a year. So there's a high probability he gets moved. It's just a matter of who's willing to take on that salary and a limited offensive game and no defense. All right, that's all we have for you today. As promised, we will get back into the Big Board 2.0 this week. Probably will be Wednesday. We'll see if anything else comes up in the next 24 hours or so. We'll talk about the NBA Finals Game 4 as well on Wednesday's show. And that'll be the plan here for the week moving forward. As a reminder, this is a daily show, Monday through Friday. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.